DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Well, as you've probably heard already, we now have 412 Labour seats, 121 Conservative. Huge landslide for the Labour Party, albeit on a very low turnout. It does mean we have a new Prime Minister in the UK, that being Keir Starmer, and much of a new cabinet already appointed. And of course, by virtue of the fact that we have a new Prime Minister, the previous one has handed in his resignation. This is what Rishi Sunak had to say.
To the country, I would like to say first and foremost, I am sorry. I have given this job my all, but you have sent a clear signal that the government of the United Kingdom must change, and yours is the only judgment that matters. I have heard your anger, your disappointment, and I take responsibility for this loss. To all the Conservative candidates and campaigners who worked tirelessly but without success, I am sorry that we could not deliver what your efforts deserved. Following this result, I will step down as party leader, not immediately, but once the formal arrangements for selecting my successor are in place. It is important that after 14 years in government, the Conservative Party rebuilds, but also that it takes up its crucial role in opposition professionally and effectively.
Rishi Sunak there taking responsibility for a crushing electoral defeat. I think the most crushing electoral defeat in the Conservative Party's history. With me is former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. Bertie, is he right to take responsibility? Because whatever has just killed the Conservative Party, you could suggest they've been ailing from it for several years.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think since Brexit in particular, I suppose in some ways they were going okay until then. The 2015, when they decided to have a referendum, they were 5 years in. But, you know, since then, it's been all downhill. I mean, they made a mess of Brexit. It was wrong to have a vote. I think it was, they didn't canvass for the vote. They didn't give it long enough of a run-in. They could have given it, Cameron could have given it another year before they had a vote. And then, of course, they went into denial about the mistake. And you know, when you look at all the heavyweights that went last night, who were mainly Brexiteers, and of the 132, I think it was, that pulled out before they had the election, a sizable number of them were Tories as well, who were Brexiteers. So, you know, they have played this game for a long way. I think Rishi Sunak was probably not a bad guy. I mean, I have some respect for him. He did the Windsor framework. He put a good effort into that. But he had a disastrous campaign. I mean, just about everything that went wrong. And I suppose he got a tough meet as well, but they made mistake after mistake. So there you have it. Labour have a majority of 174, whatever it is. Conservatives lost 250 seats. Lib Dems, their best result since 1923. The vote share is as crazy as ever. I've all my life believed that I suppose it's democratic as people vote, but they can only vote on the systems that's there. But the idea that you get 65% of the seats and 35% of the vote. But anyway, that's their system, and it's a system that throws up. It happened the last time, of course, too. I think Labour back in Blair's day, he got over 66% of the vote. Our seats on about 40%, but to get all that on 35% of the vote. So from day one, it starts off 65% of the people are against Keir Starmer and 35% for him. So he need all that majority.
Now, there's a couple of bits in both the campaign and in the performance running up to the campaign that I want your view on. You talked about the steady slide since Brexit. The one exception to that was when Boris Johnson went to the country and received a huge majority and a huge amount of popular support. I mean, I think the Conservatives at that point, just after that general election in 2019, were in around 50%. How did he manage to salvage that at a point where it seemed to be a steady slide? And was it his handling of COVID then that had it slip back out of his hands?
Yeah, well, I think the COVID thing, but go back to that election. I mean, you know, they sold the pub to the electorate. They said that this was the election to get Brexit done. And the people were frustrated with what had gone on under Theresa May's watch, even though I think she'd done her best. They had the whole parliament was just tied up totally on votes every second week. Now, it was great on television, if you remember it. And it was entertaining watching it all. And every attempt was made and then it was voted down and they come back again. But the public just got fed up with that. So when he said he was going to get Brexit done and the deal was all, what did he say? It was cooked or fully cooked.
Oven ready.
Or whatever.
Oven ready.
That was it. Oven ready. Anyway, the oven blew up as soon as the election was over. And, you know, there it goes. So, like, he got away with telling people what he could do, and he couldn't do it. Now, I think they just continued on downhill.
The other one that I wanted your view on is, can you explain how you can have such a, whatever about the other issues within the campaign, how can Rishi Sunak have had such a political tin ear as to have left Normandy on the D-Day celebrations? Surely if you're a UK Prime Minister, that is the biggest public relations open goal that you could be handed. Why would he do it?
Yeah, I think he whether he made that call himself or whether it was his press people, but he has to take responsibility because he's the final say on it. But it was absolutely crazy because we know, well, in fairness, I suppose things you admire about the British state, they do have a special place for their servicemen down through the generations, and they're, you know, it's a very special thing with them. And the Tory party would have traditionally got the lion's share of those ex-servicemen's vote, you know, down through history. So to make that mistake was crazy. I think a number of things were crazy. I think, you know, when the elections were over, the local elections, and the kind of implicated to say that, listen, we're not having any election, and then to come out and the lashing of rain 10 days later and have say you're having the election, and his own people didn't know, and a lot of his own candidates weren't even ready. They thought it was a November 15th election. That's what was all over the Tory press, not to mind the more liberal press. So it was one mistake after another. I think he must have. You can only come to the conclusion, I'm sure he'll write his memoirs eventually, but you only come to the conclusion, he said, actually, I can't take any more of this. We're going to lose anyway, so let's get it done with before my summer holidays. And that seems to be what he's done, and then that's where you get that kind of a vote. The only good thing about last night, when I saw the exit poll, and I saw that Remain were on 13 seats, I said, oh God, you know, but anyway, thankfully that poll was wrong, and they only got 4 seats. And
although, as you point out, first past the post does mean that they missed out on a few, where they're now the second in the constituencies, and that raises questions about how much of a force they can be, even if not a parliamentary force. I'm conscious of your time, Bertie Ahern, former Taoiseach. Thank you very much for joining us. We have on the line Stanley Johnson, former MEP, and of course father of Boris Johnson. And Bertie Ahern's take there, Stanley, was that if you look back to the sort of the root cause of how we ended up where we're at from a Conservative perspective, to some extent it was Boris's oven-ready deal blowing up in his face. Do you accept that?
Well, I think what was very interesting was Mr. Ahern's pointing out that actually when Boris came in, the total vote share of the Conservative Party, I believe the figure he just used, was it not over 50%?
That was me. Yeah, that was in April of 2020. The polling had the Conservatives at 51% following a high 40s or mid 40s election.
Yes, exactly. So that's the really point I'm really trying to make. I mean, what we saw last night was yes, Labour got this very very high number of seats, but I don't think you could say that Labour got the endorsement in terms of the proportion of the voting population that really Boris got in in 2019.
Well, can I ask on that basis, Andy? I mean, we've seen in the States now things that could never have been countenanced before, where a one-term president decides he's going to have another shot at it and becomes the leading candidate. At the same time, there must be a lot of people saying, well, the only person who was able to hold reform and that reform vote at bay was Boris. Boris gave us one of our best election results in recent memory. We're now dwindling. Will he have another shot?
Well, I'm not Boris.
But you're close to him and have his ear, Stanley.
No, but I'm telling you the truth. I very much agree with the analysis you just made. I mean, if whatever way you look at it, Labour's vote last night was, I think, 33.8% or something like that. It was hardly up from the 32.2% of 2019. So if you look back, I think you have to say that what Starmer has just achieved is not the same kind of endorsement in real terms that Boris got in 2019. Now
but steady, Sandy, let us be fair, though. We have to compare apples and apples, because whatever about Boris is 2019, by the point of his departure, the Conservatives were in a very different place, lagging Labour by 10%, and his successor then made a complete pig's ear out of it. But Boris did not leave the Conservative Party in a healthy place electorally.
Well, I think you have to say various other things intervened which were not necessarily, as it were, to be laid at his door. And I think you might agree that COVID was a surprise. He COVID came, as I recall, March 2020. The election of 2019 had just been in December. So you could argue, if you were a historian, that to get knocked so hard, so quickly, in your term of office was a piece of bad luck.
Yes, you know, but there again, you could cite a lot of Western examples of governments which weathered an identical storm without losing 10 points to their opposition party. So I'm sure a lot of historians would question his handling of it rather than the disease itself.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, but there was a lot of ignorance out there too. Looking back on it, you could say putting that 400 million, I beg your pardon, 400 billion pounds into fighting COVID without actually necessarily making much dent on the excess deaths chart. Well, was that money well spent? And I think the analysis which is going on may actually show that. The only problem is that analysis will take so long that people have forgotten what they're analysing. Well, there we go. It's been an extraordinary night. And thank you very much for having me on. From my point of view, I don't know whether you noticed, though it was reported here, I actually voted Lib Dem.
I was going to ask you if you went through with your Lib Dem vote.
Well, I did. I did, indeed I did, because 4 months ago, I said to Camilla Tominy, who is a very respected journalist, and she writes for the Sunday Times, but she also has a show on something called GB News, and she asked me, and I said, well, I'm going to think about voting for any political party which really puts a big emphasis on rebuilding the bridges between the United Kingdom and Europe on the one hand, and also really has a serious environmental program. And of course, the two are linked, because I argued very strongly that Britain ought to be going back into the European Environment Agency, which is already open to non-EU countries. In fact, I wrote the rules for the agency when I was back in Europe. So yes, I did follow through on what I said I was going to do. I was impressed by the candidate in my London constituency. I also have a farm in the west of England, but I didn't vote there. By the way, you go to prison in this country if you vote twice. Did you know that? You do indeed. And so I certainly didn't vote twice, but I did vote for the Lib Dems in this constituency. Now, there's another point I'd like to make.
Well, briefly, if you would, Stanley. And yes, by the way, congratulations then on a good election result for your party.
Well, very briefly. If more Conservatives have said, look, what we need to do is to hit Labour, and the way to hit Labour is by supporting Lib Dems, we might have knocked quite a lot out of that Labour majority. So I don't feel guilty at all about casting my votes for the Lib Dem this time round.
Stanley, thank you very much. That is Stanley Johnson, former MEP, environmental campaigner, and of course, father to Boris Johnson.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.